last week that entire Shas, Torah, everything's all intertwined. And oftentimes with my brother-in-law, I'm learning one Masechta, he's learning something else, he's learning Zeraim now. So we always like try to find some meeting place where, you know, I'm learning Gittin, he's learning Zeraim, and find there's always a connection. For sure, Gittin, there's plenty of Zeraim stuff. Any Masechta we're learning, you can find the connection. Same holds true doing Daf Yomi. Already this week, Daf Yomi, there's a number of connect Daf Yomi this week, and the Parsha Kisav is not a long Parsha. There are a number of connections. My Sashani Bikurim was mentioned in the Daf, I think it was today, yesterday's Daf. There's always connections. So I'm going to try, I'm not going to don't hold me to it, but I'm going to try each week when I give Shir to have a Sugin Gittin that relates somehow to the Parsha. We'll see if it works out. But either way, I want to start as still a, last week I did a little introduction about the Mitzvah of Gerushin. Today I want to do the first Tosfos in Gittin. There are Lewis didn't do it, so it allows me to do it. And the first Tosfos in Gittin, Dibrach Maswe HaMevi, it's a very short Tosfos, important Tosfos, and it branches out to so many different topics, all very, very good topics. And Tosfos tells us as follows. He wants to know, you know, why sometimes you find that get is referred to get shanashim, get isha, sometimes referred to stam shtar, it's called the get. How does one distinguish which is what? So he says, he quotes from Beno Tam, that which we write Yud Beis Shuros. Every single get needs 12, not necessarily needs, might not be me'akev, but it's advised to have 12 lines on the get. And Rabbeinu Tam says, for that reason, or the reason why you have 12 lines is because it's called a get. Since it's called a get, it doesn't tell us why it's called a get, but since it is called a get for some unknown reason, and the gematria of get is 12, so therefore you need 12 lines on the get. Quotes then Rabbi Yitzchak in the end of the Tosos, quoting from Rav Haigon and Rav Sadyagon, that the reason why you need 12 shuros is because the pasuk says sefer krisus, calls a get a sefer krisus, and it's because it's a sheer yud beis shittim, you need 12 lines on a get to be for the four lines. There are four lines in between each of these svarim of the five svarim of the chumash. We only count the first three, right? He says yud beis shittim hamafzikin bein arba chumshi sefer Torah. The first four chumshim sefer Torah, four in between each makes it a total of 12. And we don't count the last sefer dvarim mishnah Torah because eino el chozer v'shonim mashalom. It's only a chazar of what was mentioned before him. So you see, you add the 12 lines added up because there are four lines in between each of these svarim. So it comes out here's a lot of things. A couple of things have to be discussed. Why the lashon get? Why Yud Beis Shuros? What's unique about Sefer Dvarim? So let's first attack each of these issues separately. The Marsha writes, it doesn't seem to be Pashtus of Tosfos, the Marsha writes that we call the get Yud Beis, we call it a get because there are Yud Beis Shuros. The rule is it needs 12 lines. Because of 12 lines, that's why it's called a get. Okay? It's called a get because we don't know, we'll get to later on why 12 lines, but it's only called a get because the gematria of 12. But the Tosfos Yom Tov understands Tosfos differently, which is probably more pashtus, is no, it's called a get for some reason. Now, because it's called a get, then you need 12 lines. So why is it called a get? That's the question we want to first address. Why is it called a get? So the Shulchan Aruch, I think you saw, some of you saw already, it's a little strange what exactly it means, and as someone had a pshat, maybe it makes sense. Not pshat, but at least a little further understanding. He quotes from the Yerushalmi. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Yerushalmi and says, in the Rassel and God says it's not in the Yerushalmi. I think he did a search, he didn't find it. So he access to a different Yerushalmi, which we didn't have. And there's a particular rock that's found in the waters, and Gita Shema. It's called a Gita. And it's Megareshes Kol Chavrosa, and it separates, performs a garrison with all its partners. I'm not really sure what that means, I don't know what it's referring to, but I heard someone suggest it refers to a magnet, maybe? Magnet, the end of it, magnet, get, you know, it sounds similar. And you put magnets, the friends, the two positives, they push away from each other, or the two negatives, they push away. Only the positive and negatives work. If you put the partners, positives and negatives together, they're going to disperse. No, he's explaining why we call, the assumption is we call, get isha is called get. Stam get is a get isha. So why do we refer to get isha as get? Why don't we refer to as a ksuva as a get, or a loan document as a get? Because get isha is unique, because get isha, of course, separates. Just like the particular rock called a gita, or a magnet, which separates from its... Now, I don't know where you find a magnet. I don't know how these things come about. Anybody have a suggestion? No? Is it found in... What? A science teacher? Not now, but at some point we'll find out exactly where you find magnets, how do you make magnets. But perhaps that's what he's referring to. So there's some rock that has this particular ability to separate from its friends. A more famous pshat given by the Gra. The Gra says the reason why it's called the Get is because the letters of Gimel Tes are not found anywhere in Tanakh next to each other. Even the last letter of a word and the next letter of the following word, so they have two different words, those are not going to be next to each other. You never find Gimel and Tes next to each other, which tell us that Get is something that is separated. It separates between a husband and wife, and that's why the Torah never puts them together. So those are three basic reasons why it's called a Get. Either because they're Yubeshuras, or because this particular rock, which we'll call a magnet, or because the letters never appear this way in the Torah next to each other. I don't know how you, I'm not sure if you could check that way. But not the two different words, I don't think. I'm not sure if like the last letter of a word and the... There are programs which... Who does those, like, Torah codes? Yeah. They could do that. That. You remind me of an interesting story from the Gra. It's known that the Gra would say that the law... Which Masechet has the most words? Brachos, right? Brachos. So someone asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, which has the most words? He said, Shabbos. So he said, no, it's a Mizorah from the Gra, it's Brachos. He says, no, it's Shabbos. Because it's Shabbos. The Gra didn't say that. Because I know it. Shabbos has more words. So the Maaseh, apparently it's not true. Brachos does not have the most words. I never checked it. I don't know how to check it. I'm not sure if the Torah codes has something. But Chaim says the Shabbos has more words. It kind of makes sense. There's a lot of pages. What? You can probably ask him. I'll tell you another two stories about Rav Chaim. Great stories about Rav Chaim and the same idea. Someone did a search how many times it says Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. Moshe in the Torah. So he did a search, let's say Bar Ilan, and let's say he came out with a number of 100. So, or let's say 101 rather. 101, he said. So he asked Rav Chaim, how many times does it say Moshe in the Chumash? I'm not sure who asks these questions to him. How many times does it say Moshe in the Chumash? So he says 100. The guy says, no. He says 101. Rav Chaim says, let me guess, you probably use the computer, right? Says, yeah. So your computer probably picked up the word Masha and thought it was Moshe. So they're not 101 Moshe, it's 100 Moshes. One's not a Moshe, it's a Masha. Parshas Re'eh. Oh, yeah? Okay, so maybe Rav Avadia, for sure. His mind works very differently than Rav Chaim. I tell you one last mice my brother-in-law heard, and he was at a shloshim for Rav Yashiv. And one story that was mentioned was that one scene that Rav Yashiv made. He said, why are the 10 sons of Rapapa mentioned at the end of Umikasim? Why 10? So it says there are 10 places in Shas with this Machlokas Amarayim. And Rapapa says, let's make a Pshara and a Shalom between the two, and we'll do both of them. We'll do both. Well, I'll give you an example in a second. So it comes up in Tainis, comes up in Chulin a few times I saw. So someone did a search and they wanted to test the Rayashim, and only says 9 times actually Rapapa does this. So no one really had the guts to ask Rav Yashiv, so they asked Rav Chaim. I'm not sure who had the guts to ask Rav Chaim, but Rav Chaim wasn't as scary as Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv is much harder to get into than Rav Chaim. So they asked Rav Chaim, and they said, you know, listen, you know, Rav Yashiv said this, and only 9 times it says Rav Papa. So Rav Chaim looks at him and says, you think the computer's smarter than my Shver? Come on. The Gemara Brachos that says Rav Hamnuna, it's talking about which Brachos you say in Birchas HaTorah. Some says La Asog B'Dereis, one says V'Harevna, one says V'Asher Baruch Habanum. Rav Hamnuna comes along and says, therefore Hilchas Nimru Kovai. Don't say all of them. Kiv Eger writes in there, no, it should say Rav Papa says Hilchas Kula, and they say all of them. So that's the 10th place where it mentions Rav Papa. Okay, so let's go back to where we were. We mentioned already why it was mentioned, why it's called a Get for a couple of reasons. Now let's get into the discussion of Yud Beis Shuros. How do you know there have to be 12 lines? So Rabbeinu Tam told us the 12 lines because that's the gematria of Get. Get is 12 lines. The Gaonim write because between each of the Sifrei Chumash, there are 4 lines separating. And we don't count between Bamidbar and Dvarim. That leaves us 4 Svarim, 3 breaks in between 4 Svarim. 3 times the 4 lines is 12. All right, simple math, 12. Why in the world are we using the Sefer Torah as a model for the Get? Sounds very, very strange. So it's Mashma, Rosenzweig has this idea, I saw in his notes, or someone's notes from him, that there's an idea that the get is some form of Kedusha. Some form of Kedusha. Now, it sounds very anti-Kedusha, separating, of course, but sometimes when a get is for a need, if the certain arials were taking place, certain bad things, so it maintains, it completes the Kedusha, maybe something along those lines. So because it's some level of Kedusha, it's compared very much to a Sefer Torah. The Rush, who also quotes this idea from Tosfos, also kind of compares it to a Sefer Torah, I think, if you look in there carefully. The Mordechai in the back, now the one that you saw in Simon Shin Tes Zayin, has a discussion about whether or not, you know, Eitan will be familiar with this concept, whether or not the letters in the get, you have to write mamash on a klaf, with the sofer. Do they require the tagin? All like the fancy little things, and like what the shatin is, what are the letters? Right. Do they all need the appropriate tagin, like a Sefer Torah? So the Mordechai presents the Machlokas Rishonim. He quotes the Sefer Truma, and says that you don't need the shatin is gats for, they don't need the tagin like a Sefer Torah. But one thing is because you don't want to change the minog. A minog's always been not to write with a tagin. And he says, furthermore, if you're going to do this, so there are going to be certain sofer who are not going to be bekiyin in tagin. But you could be a sofer for get, you may not be a sofer for Sefer Torah, in Yoni Stam, you know. So some people are just a sofer leaning get. So they're not going to be bekiyin, and you're going to say there's a possible get. So it's better not to use tagin. It's not a concept. However, but isn't there a din also that each letter, you can't have the letters connecting. Each letter has to be surrounded completely by the parchment, right? It's called mukaifas gvila, has to be surrounded. You can't have them touch, which sounds like it has the real dinim of hilchos sefer Torah. Mordechai says, it's only because if you read it, if they're connected, you're going to read it as one word. You're not going to show what's going on. It's not for halachic reasons of being a kosher sefer Torah, kosher get. It's just going to be misread. However, he quotes from the Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avram, who was medactic to write with tagin on a get. Why? Because he quotes from the Gemara on Shabbos to be over the Is of Ksiva on Shabbos. The Ksiva has to be done using the tagin. Without the tagin, it's not considered a shin. It's not considered an ayin. If you don't have the tagin, it's not considered an os. So therefore, he says, when it comes to the get also, you require the tagin just like a sefer Torah. So it comes out from this machlokas, Sefer Truma versus Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avram in the Mordechai. They're arguing, does it require tagin or not? And it sounds like whether get has a certain aspect of kedusha, like a Sefer Torah, which is like the Gaonim, which why maybe you use that as a model, as a Yud Beis Shiros, or no kedusha at all, and you can write them without tagin. Later on, we're going to get into a discussion, Daf Vavam Nebeis, whether or not the halachas of Sirta. Now, what's Sirta? Sirtit is, if you see any of Eitan's parchments, they have these lines going on them. These lines. I'm not even sure how you draw the lines. How do they get so even? Okay, so you have these lines in this, they're called Sirtit. And it's a discussion that daf above whether or not get requires ma'akev or not ma'akev, all those issues. I once had a shaila when I moved into my house, so I had my mezuzahs from my apartment in Queens. I had some extra ones, the ones who was to leave over for the Jew moves in. I happened to have a couple extra ones that I hadn't used. I wanted to just check myself. I know nothing about mezuzah, but I figured why not open up, take a look at it. I looked at it, and there's no sirtin in one of the mezuzahs. So I know what halacha is. So I looked it up a little bit and asked for Shechter. So the din of sirtin is a different halacha when it comes to mezuzah versus a different halacha in terms of tefillin. The basic hakir and sirtin, how much is sirtin din in the klaf itself? It has to be part of the tsuras, mezuzah, say for Torah and everything, or sirta is simply just a hech shemitzvah to allow for writing it straight. So nafkamina would be if it was written straight, if it initially had sirta and he wrote it straight, and afterwards it got, you know, somehow, I don't know how it worked, it removed the sirta. But if it, as long as it was straight, it would be kosher, as long as it's written in a straight line. But if sirta is a din in the actual klaf, it should still be possible. I think Rav Shechter, he quoted Pisket Tshuva, I think I saw it afterwards. I think it's machlokas whether you could use it. He advised otherwise. Okay, so in terms of whether there's sirta or not in regards to getin, that also is telling how much kedusha there is to get. How comparable is get to Sefer Torah? Although it seems very strange. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted as saying he would not write. Let's say a husband and wife were divorcing, and one of them was a mumar, a meshubad, who's off the derech. He would very machben not to write that name. This name of the Meshumad or Mumar on the get. Most Rishonim argue. So Rosenzweig wanted to suggest that perhaps it's for this reason. If since it's a Kedusha, Davar Sheber Kedusha, like a Sefer Torah, it's inappropriate to write such a name on the get. But if it's not, just a regular document, who cares what names you write? That's what he suggested. Now, this whole idea was quoted in Tosfos. We only count the breaks between the first four svar. The varm is left behind. Now, there is the opinion of the Mordechai, so, who quotes another reason as to why you would use 12 lines. And this he quotes from a medrash about Adam Rishon, Shenemar Zeh Sefer Toldos, Zeh Begimachios Yudbeis. So Zeh Sefer, Sefer is a reference to get. I'm not sure why Adam, why there's a get by Adam Rishon of some sort. I'm not sure if I understand the medrash entirely. But very simply, that the word Zeh in the context of Sefer tells us the Gematria of 12 lines. The Chedusha Anshin Shem in the Os Alf and the Mordechai, he writes because it's connected to Yud Beis Shvatim that were muteris to marry within each other. Okay, so Tosfos writes that Sefer Dvarim is unique. Sefer Dvarim is different than the other four Svarim of the Chumash. It's because he says it's v'chosh v'shone, you're just doing some sort of chazara on it. If Yosef Engel writes in Gilyoni Ashas, he quotes from a Tshuva Zerash in Simon Klal Yud Tes Os Tezayim. He quotes an interesting shaila that was presented. It doesn't seem like so much like the Rush, but someone who once violated b'shoga, he drank Yai Nesach. He wanted to do tshuva. What's a proper kabara to do for drinking Yai Nesach? So he says, I heard from a particular chassid that one should fast 5 days if he violated Yai Nesach. He drank Yai Nesach B'shogeg. Why 5 days? Because it says the word Gefen 5 times in the Chumash, leaving aside Sefer Dvarim. We don't take into account Sefer Dvarim. We count the 5 times in the first four Svarim. So highlighting some uniqueness or separation of Sefer Dvarim. That's what Yosef Engel points out. The Bach actually quotes this Tshuva Sarash. The Chedusha Anshi Shem, however, quotes from Rav Avram Menzel. It says, no, every single parsha in the Torah, not in between parshas, but the different parshas within, let's say within Kisavo, there are different parshas, there's always a separation between the parshas. So when counting the separation between the Svarim, the very first line can't be viewed as something unique between the Svarim. Every parsha in the entire Torah has a separation. So rather you only count 3. You don't count the 4. One of them is, again, one of these lines is part of the classic partial separations. The 3 are the unique ones that are in between Svarim. So he says you should count the 4 separations between all 5 Svarim, include Sefer Dvarim. So you have 3 lines in between each of the 5 Svarim. 3 times 4 separations, the actuary to be 12. Oh, very good. So 12 lines. So he does include the lines in between each of the Svarim, even that which separates Dvarim from Bamidbar. Now this comes up to two interesting points. One is, he thinks Sefer Dvarim is part of the normal line of 5 Svarim in the Chumash. Number 2 is, something's different about the one line and the 3 other lines. Let's first focus on the uniqueness of Sefer Dvarim. While Tosfos thinks Sefer Dvarim is separate from the other ones, this more Chidush Anshi Shem thinks, no, it's no different than the other ones. So, Rav Yosef Engel writes, Rav Yosef Engel has some deep Kabbalistic stuff, oftentimes. And he says, even if you want to say that Sefer Dvarim is like any of the other Svarim, there are 5 equal Svarim in the Chumash. They're all equal. There's still reason not to count Sefer Dvarim. I mean, we explained why didn't Tosfos count Sefer Dvarim? Because Sefer Dvarim is different. It's separate. It's just a chazara. He says, no. They're equal, but there's something still unique about Sefer Dvarim. Not that it's separate, but what's different? He says, Sefer Dvarim is all about Lifnim Meshuras Hadin. And he brings some rise for it. The first 4 Svarim is Midas Din. The second one is Lefnim Meshuras Din, which is Midas Chesed, Rachman. So the first 4 are Midas Din and Emes. Dvarim is Rachman. That's why the Torah, the Gemara tells us, was given B'Lashon Azza in a very harsh way, tone. It's the Gemara, Avodah Zarah tells us, Midin Emes, the Torah is Midin Emes. The Din Emes, the Din of Emes, and the Din, was the first 4 Svarim. Gerishin, of course, is a din. Divorcing from a husband and a wife, it's a din. So only the first 4 Svarim correspond to the aspect of get. Sefer Dvarim, which is about chesed, that does not correspond to get, and therefore we don't take that into account. That's a very, again, a chassidish type of explanation of what's going on here. Now, in terms of the question whether the Sefer Devarim is part of the rest of the Chumash or not, or it's unique, Rav Yosef Engel thinks it's, yeah. That's a very good question. It's a great point, actually. Sefer Devarim shouldn't be there at all, then. I mean, get shouldn't be in Sefer Devarim, it should be elsewhere. It's a great question, I don't know. Good point. I don't have an answer. Okay. So, Rav Yosef Engel points to a Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, which seems to be a machlokas tanoim, whether or not Sefer Devarim is unique or not. This very question, machlokas rishonim, maybe even a machlokas tanoim. What's the machlokas there? The Gemara's are trying to find the source in the Torah that hints, how do we know you're allowed to write in Megillas Esther? How could you write it on klaf, write it part of, make it part of Tanakh? What gave us the permission? So the tanoim look for a pasuk. So the pasuk is as follows, because it says, Kasav Zos, Zichron Sefer. B'sefer. It's a pasuk. Kasav Zos, Zichron B'sefer. It's four words. So what are these four words teaching us? First opinion, Rabbi Yeshua says, Kasav Zos teaches us that you're allowed to write Sefer Torah. You learn from Zichron, you can write Mishnah Torah. And you learn from Sefer to write Nevi'im K'suvim. Rabbi Elazar says, no, from Kasav Zos you could write the entire Sefer Torah, including Mishnah Torah. Zichron, you learn the rest of Tanakh, and that avails the word Sefer to teach you to write Megillah. So, a couple of machlokas will come out of this. Is there a source for Megillah's Esther or not? That's the machlokas time. Also, what comes out, does Mishnah Torah have its own limud or not? According to Yeshua, it needs its own limud to write it. Had you not had the extra word, you wouldn't know to write Mishnah Torah down. It comes along with Elazar and says, no, you can't distinguish. Once you write the first four Sefarim, of course you write the last Sefer of Devarim. They all come together. You can't distinguish between the two. So he thinks it's Gufa Machlokas Tanoim, whether or not you take into account Sefer Devarim. So you're allowed to write Megillah, that's how we paskin, which would come out that Sefer Devarim is part of the... Discussion in the Rishonim and the Mefarshim why Sefer Devarim has another name called Mishnah Torah. No, the Mishnah Torah, the Yitziv talks in each of the Hakdamas. He has five Hakdamas, the different Sefarim, all very famous. Short pieces, but very, very important. I happen to like the one in Shmos a lot. So in Sefer Devarim, he wants to know why it's called Mishnah Torah. In fact, the Ramban already addressed this also. He quotes the Ramban. Ramban says it's called Mishnah Torah because, as Tosfos told us, it's Chozer Rishona. Mishnah Torah is a chazara, it's a summary, it's a review of what happened in the prior years in the Midbar, what was written in the prior Svarim of the Chumash. Now, yes, the Ramban points out there are a lot of new halachas, new mitzvahs that are given, but for the most part, it's basically a chazara, he claims. So it's called Mishnah Torah, Mishnah coming from Shana, Shnia, the second review, a review of it. Sounds like Tosfos. That means it's unique. It's not Sefer Torah, it's nothing new. It's not its own Sefer Torah. It's just simply a summary, which makes it separate from the other four. However, Tiv says differently. What's Mishnah Torah? What's another way to use the word Mishnah? How else could you interpret it? Teaching, like Vishinantam, Vanachem. That's what you meant. Vishinantam. Vishinantam means the word should be chodav b'fiv. You should be able to be very sharp in your mouth. Vishinantam. Says in the Tziv, you know what Sefer Devarim is about? It's about a melis b'torah. The bidik duke mikra. This Talmud, Musar, all this deep, amelis, careful reading, hasmada. That's what Sefer Devarim is about. It's Mishnah Torah. It's vishinantam levanecha. So Sefer Devarim is not unique. It's not a level below the other four. It has a different theme, perhaps, in the other four, but it's just like the other four also have different themes. Sefer Bereishis is about the Avos and Maaseh Bereishis. Shmos is about the creation of Bnei Israel. Sefer Devarim is about Amelis Batara. They're all five different themes. While the Ramban says, no, it's completely a review. There's nothing new. It's a review which puts Sefer Devarim, according to the Ramban, on a lower level. So Tosus works out very well. Tosus says, according to the Gaonim, why don't we take into account the lines in between Binbar and Devarim? Because Devarim is in a lower level. It's simply a Chazara. And Tziv says, that's not Chazara. It's a Melis. It's just as strong, just as high level as the other four Sefarim. Gemara in Brachos, it's found elsewhere also, I think Gemara Yevamos also, the discussion in, anyone doing Daf Yomi here? Doing Daf Yomi people here? No, Ruben, oh, very nice. Rabbi Leibowitz, Daf Chaim, your own?
Ketchup.
Okay. Did you do Chaf Alf and Rebez yet? I won't test you. So, the discussion there about smuchim, the drush of smuchim. Smuchim is when two psukim are next to each other, or two concepts are next to each other, and you could darshan the two from the fact they're next to each other, it's coming to teach me something about the two. So, there's one man, Amar, that you could learn smuchim in Kol Torah Kula, Bamidbar, Shmos, Vayikra, Bereishis. You could learn all the svar. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you could only learn it in Sefer Devarim. He doesn't hold the smuchim in the first four. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, you do not learn smuchim. Only in Sefer Devarim you learn smuchim. Which highlights a certain uniqueness, again, to Devarim, which is kind of like Tosfos. Now, the reason why it's unique, why is Rabbi Yehuda distinguished between Sefer Devarim and the other four Svarim in terms of Smuchim? So the Ritva says as follows, this is Pshat. He says, yes, the entire Torah was said by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anybody who says otherwise is Apikoros, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us. But it was still said from Moshe Rabbeinu. Basically, what Moshe Rabbeinu did was, he took the first four Svarim, organized it, and put it in a certain way, in order to be presented. Once it was organized, these words were not Moshe's words, they were Hashem's words, but it was in an organized fashion that allowed for the smuchim. He put these things before and after one another to which allow for darshaning the smuchim. What comes out from this ritva is, again, that Sefer Devarim is simply a chazara of the previous four svarim, which will have another halacha nafkamina that you can darsh smuchim as opposed to the other ones. Now there's another place I'm not going to get into that much, but I'll just mention one other distinction that I'm familiar with by how Sefer Devarim is more unique than the other Svarim. Anybody know? Anybody learn Megillah here? The end? Lamed Aleph and Beis. This week's Parsha. This is my connection to this week's Parsha. Kisavo. About the Tochacha. Klalos. There are two Klalos, the two Tochachas in the Torah. Where are the two Tochachas found? Kisavo. You have to call the Balkore. Mechukosai. Two calls, Mechukosai and Kisavo. These are very, very long tochachos and of one aliyah, we don't split them up. So the Gemara Megillah says, you're not allowed to split up the tochacha that's found in Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, and Mechukosai in particular, because it was said by Kadosh Baruch. You can't separate, you can't stop those words. It was said, but the one found in Kisavo, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's curses given to Klal Yisrael, that one can separate. And Gemara says, because one was said mipi Gvura, one was mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. That which was said by Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Parsha, you can't distinguish, which again highlights some difference between Sefer Devarim and the rest of the Svarim. So we came out with a number of differences between Sefer Devarim and the other ones. One is in terms of, do you count the Shuros in between for a get? In terms of the name, why it's called Mishneh Torah? In terms of the darshan smuchin, and now in terms of the breaking up the klalos. Now back to the chiddush anshei shem we mentioned before, whether you count the shuros in between or not. The chiddush anshei shem quoted from Avram, Rav Yitzchak ben Avram Menzel, that said the first line of the four you don't take into account. The first line of the four is no different than any other parsha break. We only count the last three. What's pshat? Rav Menzel thinks that what are the shuros in general? What do any separations have to do? Are the separations there, is that part of the tsura, the image of the Sefer Torah? Or it's simply a havdalah, a separation? For example, you look at the shira. The shira, you ever see, you know, if you open up, anyone get an aliyah? I never did, I'm a Levi. So you probably read the shira before you're done, right? Okay, you know what it looks like. Everyone knows what it looks like, I think. Hazinu also has a very interesting, like the brick layout. And that's ma'akiv, if it's not written that way. That's another actually interesting topic as well, whether the last few lines are part of the shira. So, are the separations part of the tsura, part of the image of the Sefer Torah, or is it just a separation? What do I mean? So the fact that Rav Menzel does not take into account the first of the four lines as a separation, the first of the four lines is the tsura. There's a certain image that the Sefer Torah has to look like. That's what the first line does. The next three lines are simply Ayah Abdullah. They separate between Bereishis and Shmos and Vayikra. It's just a separation. According to Tosfos, however, Tosfos includes all four lines between the Svarim, because all four lines serve as a separation. The first line is not part of the Tzur, it's not part of the image of the Sefer Torah. The four lines is a Havdalah, and we'll get to a Nafka Mina in a second. Sefer Chinuch writes, actually, before that, the one Nafka Mina I saw in Chavetz Chas Sharon, which I hope you guys are getting more familiar with now, at least that I like it, you guys should like it also. The Dinev, in general, you have to write the Sefer Torah Lishma. Do you have to make these separations? When you make these separations, you have to sirtut. So you have to make these lines, but they're empty, they're blank lines, but you still make these lines of sirtut. When you make these sirtut, do you have to have it lishma or not? If these lines are supposed to be part of the image of the Sefer Torah, it requires the din of lishma. However, if the sirtut is simply there as a separation, so it doesn't need a sirtut, it doesn't need lishma rather, just do it, make a separation. There's no lishma in the Havdalah. But if it's part of the tzura, you need lishma. So Rabban Tzel would l'chora say the first line, since it's part of the tzura, requires lishma. The next three doesn't require lishma. Tosis would think all four lines, none of the four lines rather, require lishma. Sefer Chinuch writes in the very last mitzvah of the Torah, Taf Resh Yud Gimel, in the Hilchos of Sefer Torah, mitzvah writing a Sefer Torah, he writes that kol chumash v'chumash arba shitin pnuyos v'lo ksiva. You have to have between every chumash four lines, v'lo pachos v'lo yeser, not less, not more. So I understand why not less, that's what we've been told. Why not more? Let's say it's about Havdalah. Why not have 5, 6 lines? Who cares? It's a separation. Sounds like from this Sefer Chinuch that the four lines, all four lines, is actually part of the Tzura. You can't add to it, because then you're changing the Tzura. If it's simply a separation, so maybe one can allow to add a fifth or sixth line, however many separations lines he wants. Now, the Pisrei Tshuva quotes from a Tshuva Satashvetz that writes that the first line, if you don't have the first line of separation, it is Ma'akev, the Sefer Torah. But if you don't have the other three, you have one line, but missing the other three, it's not Ma'akev. Why? Because the first line, according to Tashvetz, L'chora, is part of the Tzuras of Sefer Torah. If you're lacking a letter, it's Pasul. If you're lacking this first separation, it's Pasul. It's Ma'akev, the Sefer Torah. The next three lines are simply there as a Hefsek in between. So it's nice, it's important to have a hefsek, it's advisable to have a hefsek of an additional three lines, but if not, it's not ma'akev. More about Basra, Daf Yud Gimel and Beis. This is the first parak. We talk a lot about the dinim, of how Sefer Torah and the Nevi'im are written. More about Basra, Daf Yud Gimel and Beis says, HaMeniach Dal Chitim Bein Navi LeNavi. One is supposed to also place four separations between each Navi. But the Rambam writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perak Zayin, Lacha Tesvav, only between Chumash, each Chumash do you require four lines of separation, but between each Navi, it's enough to simply have three lines, not four, three lines. And the reason Rama writes is because if you come to cut it, so you could cut it. Let's say you connect Yeshua and Shoftim and Shmuel and Lach, and you want to connect them all together. And then you decide you want to cut it at some point, so I have three lines there, so the place to cut it, and they have now a few separate Svarim of Nevi'im. So Chavetz Chas Sharon explains that why only three lines by Navi and four lines by Sefer Torah? Because Sefer Torah, the first line is like the Tashbetz. The first line is part of the Tzur of a Sefer Torah. That it needs. There's no din of that Tzur for a Navi. The additional three lines is simply there for Hefsek. So when it comes to Navi, it doesn't have that Tzur of a Sefer Torah. It doesn't require the first line. It only has the last three lines. Only three lines are necessary for the Bein Navi LeNavi. Sefer Torah requires four lines, three lines of separation, and the first line, which is part of the Tzuras of Sefer Torah. Gemara Bava Basra also says there in the same Daf, Yud Gimel Amud Beis writes that if you complete a Sefer on the bottom, you could begin the Sefer Torah on the top, and you don't have to have any separations. Rashi writes, there's no need for a space. That's a push up shot. There's no need to place any space. If you finish at the bottom, the last line, you could start the next Sefer on the top of the next column. Tosis writes, no, that's only true Bein Navi LeNavi. If you finish Yeshua in the bottom, you could start Yeshua from the very top of the next column. When it comes to Chumash, you still require four lines of separation because it's not there for separation. It's there because the entire four lines is part of the Tzuras HaSefer Torah. So what comes out from this discussion is that in terms of the four lines, some say the four lines are simply there for Havdalah. Some say the four lines are there part of the Tzura, yet others say no, there's a Chiluk. The first line is part of the tzura. The additional three lines are part of the din of the hefzik. We saw a couple of nafkamim meetings between Navi to Navi. Okay, fine. So I think that really concludes this discussion. So we saw why it's called a get, Yud Beis Shuros, the uniqueness of Mishnah Torah, and now the Dalad Shuros material. A lot of information. We still have 8 minutes left, and if Rabbi Lewis is not giving any parsha today, I'm giving a shir and yolk on Shabbos. I'll say maybe it's just for a few minutes, which connects this also to Rabbi Kamenetsky, some yonim on the parsha. I wanted to connect to Kisavo anyways. So let's just take a little break, a little pause. That's get. Now, parsha's Kisavo. I'm not going to even pause, I'll just go right in. Parsha's Kisavo could be broken up in two different sections. The first section of Kisavo has three mitzvahs, and the second set of parsha, the second half of Kisavo, is about the tocha, which is at the end there, all the klalos that Klal Yisrael is going to get if they don't listen. Now, the first three mitzvahs have something very in common. They all have something to do with dibur, speech. The first mitzvah is bikurim. The din of bikurim is your first fruit of the shivas aminim of that season. You bring the shivas aminim, you bring those to the Beis HaMikdash. When you get to the Beis HaMikdash, it's accompanied by something called mikra bikurim, a testimony. It's a appreciation. It's a saying of thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Next mitzvah is Ma'is HaSheni. Ma'is HaSheni, the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, you bring, after doing all the chumas and the Ma'aser Rishon, chumas Ma'aser, and finally you take Ma'aser Sheni, you bring the Ma'aser Sheni, you bring it to Yerushalayim to eat, and when you get there, you say something called a Vidui Ma'aser. Vidui Ma'aser is a confession, where the individual confesses or testifies that he did everything right when he took Ma'aser Sheni. He took the chuma properly, he took the Ma'aser properly, he didn't eat it when he was Tamei, he didn't eat it when he was Oni, he did everything properly. It was a Vidui. It's an ancient confession. You're not confessing you did something wrong, you're confessing you did something right. So it's a vidui. But, so, again, a speech. Bikurim requires a speech. Ma'aser Sheni requires a speech. The third mitzvah, not really a mitzvah, it was a one-time event, but it was the brachos and klalos of Har Gerizim Har Eivel. What happened there was, half of Klal Yisrael was in one mountain, half of Klal Yisrael on another mountain. They were given brachos and klalos, they said amen. But it was all through a speech. Now, just not simply that. The Mishnah in Sota uses brachos and klalos as the paradigm. Just like brachos and klalos were said in Lashon HaKodesh, so too, for other particular mitzvahs have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Not all mitzvahs, but certain mitzvahs have to be in Lashon HaKodesh, particularly because it's learned from brachos and klalos. So brachos and klalos is served as the paradigm for these mitzvahs of speech. So these three mitzvahs have what to do with speech. What are they doing in Kisavo? What's with the emphasis in Kisavo? It's very interesting, even further, the Mishnah in the beginning of Elo Nemarim, right, in Sota, the seventh parak, has two categories of mitzvahs that require speech. One category can be said in Lashon Kodesh, one category can be said in any language. What comes out is that Mikra Bikurim can be said only in Lashon Kodesh, Vidu Meiser only in any language. What's Peshat? I think you could say as follows. Mikra Bikurim is about expressing a Karas HaTov. I could do it all the way around. Vidu Meiser is a confession, when I confess. If I'm going to have a true confession, a meaningful confession, I have to be speaking my language that I understand. If I'm doing a Shamne Bagano, don't know what I'm saying, it's really meaningless. You're supposed to understand the words. So any language is appropriate for Vidur Meiser. Mikra Bikurim is a Hakaras HaTov. Now yes, it's very important for me to understand what I'm thanking for, but more important is the person who's receiving the thanks could understand. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu, who we're thanking, of course, understands every language, but perhaps it's a little more meaningful, perhaps, that you could speak in his language, the Lashon HaKodesh, be a more appropriate, sensitive type of Hakaras HaTov. Maybe one could suggest that. But when looking on this Mishnah and Sota in its entirety, there are 15 mitzvahs that require speech. 10 of the 15 are found in Sefer Devarim. Other five are scattered throughout the other four. Are you going to tell me Sefer Devarim has so many mitzvahs? Not true. Sefer Devarim has 200 mitzvahs. The other 413, the rest of the Torah. The math doesn't work out. There's a very heavy emphasis of speech, mitzvah-related speech, in Sefer Devarim. Kisavo has three of these. I think Kisavo is actually a very, very important central point which tells us about these different things. I'm running out of time here. So I guess I'll get to the gist of things. That the Sefer Bikurim, we mentioned Arami Ove Avi, who is Lavan. We mentioned Lavan in this Sefer Bikurim. We mentioned in Mikra Bikurim. We also talk about Lavan, this very partial in the Haggadah. There's a connection between Mikra Bikurim and the Haggadah. The Or Sameach writes, what's the connection? These are both a din of speech. What's the speech? The underlying theme, the common denominator between Bikurim and Pesach is Lehodos, to thank Hashem. Mikra Bikurim, I'm thanking Hashem for the fruit. Pesach, I'm thanking Hashem for taking me out of Mitzrayim. On the other hand, Vidur Meiser is more connected to Yom Noraim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Vidur. In fact, the dinim of some of the dinim of Vidur Meiser is found in Maseches Yuma, about Yom Kippur, Vidur. There's a connection now. We have Pesach and Mikra Bikurim about thanks, Rosh Hashanah and Vidur Meiser about confession. Two forms of speech. The Bnei Yisrael writes that the different times of the year, different months, are connected to different parts of the body. Tishrei and Nisan are connected to the peh, the mouth. The two forms of mouth, there's a way to confess and there's a way to express thanks. That's Tishrei, that's Nisan. Now, getting to Sefer Dvarim, which itself means words, Sefer Dvarim was basically a speech, perhaps two or three speeches of Moshe Rabbeinu, just speaking. Sefer Dvarim is about speech. What's unique about speech? What's this heavy emphasis on speech? So the Gemara Hagiga tells us that each man has six aspects, three things that compare him to Malachim, three things that compare him to Behemoth. One thing that makes him more like a Malachim is like the power of speech. Power of speech empowers someone. It gives him the ability to be unique. It gives him the ability to create, to network, to build. Klai Yisrael was going through a transition. They were in the Midbar, Nisim, Niflam, that were happening to them. They didn't do a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided them with everything they needed. They were transitioning now into Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to be a little more hidden. They have to work the land. They have to fight their battles now. They needed something to empower them. It was a speech that made man unique. It gave them their own power now. First four Svarim, the Midbar. Sefer Dvarim, the transition. It's telling us the power, the Kalach HaDibor. That's why Sefer Dvarim has some nafkaminas. Moshe started speaking a little bit more. You could darshan smuchim. The klalos were different. Moving forward, the last Ipsukim, Machlokas, who wrote it, Yoshua Moshe, giving more power to man through the power of speech, through power of writing. So Kisavo, which is means Kisavo El Arts, when you enter the land, these are the mitzvahs that you need. The mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, the mitzvah of Vidur Meiser. This is the mitzvahs that are going to show you the Koach HaDibur as individuals. The Koach HaDibur in regards to Mikra Bikurim and expressing thanks, Pesach, the ability of Vidur confessing, Vidur Meiser, and Yom Narad. And that's perhaps the overall theme of Sefer Dvarim, and that's what Kisavo is trying to highlight to us.